Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning and we hear the words of Jesus, among others, but particularly his words, may we understand their truth for our life. Not just random sayings said by a good man 20 centuries ago, but directions for our life today uttered from the mouth of God. Whatever we should hear this morning, wherever our hearts should be touched, wherever we should be sent, to whomever we should be sent, may it begin in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to talk this morning about the light of the world. And this is a common term. We hear about Jesus being the light of the world, and you're the light of the world, and this little light of mine. We talk about it so much. I want to come back and try to hear this as it was first heard, to get the impact of what Jesus was saying. And I want you to imagine just for a moment, if you would, before we go into Scripture, imagine you had been born without sight. Imagine you were born on an island where no one had sight. No one could see. And you didn't know any better. Everyone just existed in that way. They existed, they moved around, and no concept that there even was a thing called sight. So they just lived on the other senses that they had. Occasionally, on a warm afternoon, they did feel something, but no concept of seeing. And then one day a ship arrives and a man comes ashore and he gets one of the locals and he has this drink. And he says, if you drink this, you can see. And the person says, let's see. What do you mean see? So just try it. When the person takes it, instantaneously, they have vision. Now imagine that was you. And taking all of that in, all the wonder of the world that you didn't even know existed. What's the next thing you would do? Yeah, you got any more of that? Do you have any more? And the man says, yes, there's an unlimited supply. What would you do? He says, here it is. What would you do? You gotta start grabbing people, right? And giving them that gift that had been given to you. We exist in a world where people can't even conceive sometimes. They hear about God. They hear about Jesus. It becomes part of the background noise of all the religions in the world. But there is a truth out there. There is light out there. There is sight to be had. And you've gotten it. You've received it. If you've accepted Jesus, you've received it. You have that light. You have that vision. You can see things in a way that other people cannot. And when you go back to Jesus, he says, yeah, there's an unlimited supply. Are we running it and sharing it with the desperation that you were thinking of just a few minutes ago when you thought it was a glass of juice? Are we running it and sharing it with everyone we know? We have the light. Genesis 1 tells us that in the beginning, right, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So we see here that before God spoke it into existence, that there was no light. But the very first thing in creation is what? It's the light. Well, why did God create light? Why did God give us light? God evidently didn't need it himself. So why did he create light? Because he was going to create us with the ability to see. Somebody said it. I don't know who it was. Somebody said it. He's going to create us with the ability to see the wonders of his hand. So he created this process, this thing called light, so that the first people could walk around and see the handiwork, what God had put in the earth for them. The earth he had created for them. When he placed it in the garden, they could see. God created light so that people could see what God had done. And then one of my favorite passages, before we get to the main passage for today, is in John 1. And John 1 starts in a very similar words. In the beginning was the Word. That word's got a capital W in your Bible because it means Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that had been made. In Him was life. That life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So, centuries, generations and generations and generations after the first creation, after that first creation of light, which was put there so that people could see what God had done, and the world had become spiritually steeped in darkness. And God did it again. I don't know if he used those same words, but he sent Jesus and he said, "Look, let there be light." Again, the light of the world. Jesus, the light to shine in the darkness. And once again, light was given, this time in a spiritual sense, but for the same reason, so that people could look and see what God had done. They could look at Jesus and see God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then if we go back to the beginning again in Genesis, we would read, and you've heard me say this before, it's one of my favorite things, that God, after created light, created the sun, created the moon. The sun is a source of light. The moon is a reflector of light. So in the daytime, the source of light is there. At night, there is a reflector of that greater light. So in a time of darkness, the moon has no light of its own, but reflects the sunlight. And it goes on and on, right? This is not really the point of today, but it goes on, you know, through the month as the moon changes, we see less and less of the moon because what gets in the way? The world gets in the way, right? And when the world gets in between us and Jesus, then the world sees less of Jesus in us. Likewise, it goes on to talk about John the Baptist, who came before Jesus and said, but John wasn't the light, but he pointed his way toward the light. Okay, so here we are back in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. And it started, if you've been hanging around with us for a while, for several weeks, it started going through the Beatitudes, this bringing of people into the kingdom, Jesus talking about the state one must bring themselves to. The relationship between us and God. And the first four of the Beatitudes, the second four is the state between us and the world as we go back out. Then last week we talked about being salt of the earth. And the salt is that which does many things. It preserves, it adds zest and flavor, it brings out the zest and flavor. We also said that it promotes healing, and they rubbed babies down with salt, and how all of those things are true for being salt of the world, that we are to preserve that which God has placed in the world. We are to add joy and zest and bring out the flavor in life. And also as a church, we're to be wrapped around those new believers, because as the Beatitude ends up, the world is going to persecute them. So as salt rubbed on a newborn infant to help it transition into its new birth, into its new life, we are to be there to do the same. And then Jesus goes on to say, and remember, this is all part of one message. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I know we've all heard this many, many times, but this is a tremendously powerful and convicting set of verses. It doesn't say a city on a hill shouldn't be hidden. It doesn't say a city on a hill is probably easy to see. It says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. If Christ is in us, it should be no secret to anyone. It should be no secret. It shouldn't be hidden. It shouldn't be easy to hide. It shouldn't be possible to hide. And likewise, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. And this is a little deeper than just covering the light up. If we took an actual lamp and lit it and covered it completely with a bowl, one of two things would happen, depending on the type of bowl it was. Either the light would go out, or the bowl would get incredibly hot. Some of the original language suggests that maybe it was a basket, and a basket might, if the light did not go out, the basket would burn. Or it would become too hot to touch if it were some kind of earthenware, some kind of pottery. And I'm here to tell you that the light that's put inside us cannot be put out. We can't snuff that light out, because what's the light? It's Jesus. It can't be put out. If it's inside us, and for some reason we try to cover it, that's bad news for us. But instead of even thinking that, it is such incredibly good news for the world. That light should be put on a stand to give light to everyone in the house. Everyone. I've mentioned this before when talking through this Sermon on the Mount. Jesus sums this all up in His last words in the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, when He says, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples." Everyone in the house, everyone should see Jesus through the work of the church. Everyone. It doesn't say, so the people in this room, or the people in that room, it says so that everyone in the house, it should be lifted up so that everyone in the house gets the light. We met with the youth on Thursday evening and watched a video by a young man named David Platt. And if you don't know him, find out about him. He's an incredible young preacher and author. I wrote a book called Radical, which I can't recommend highly enough. But he gave the figure of the number of people in the world, I forget what it is, 6 billion or something like that, and about a third call themselves Christian. Now, inside of that third, there may be some room between people who are genuinely saved and who are in areas where that's just the prudent thing to do. But in the most liberal statistic, using the most possible, about a third of the world knows Jesus. And we think, well, that's India, And that's the heart of Africa, and that's South America. I'm here to tell you, it's Kent County. In Sussex County, and Newcastle County, and the East Coast. And if you could put an oxygen monitor on the life of the church, this is just truth. It's painful, but it's true. As you go further and further north and east in the United States, starts needing a respirator. Yes, some of us are called to go to those other places. Some of us are called around the world, but right here where we live. And I'll keep throwing this out as long as it's still true. Somewhere between 15 and 20% of the people in this community are in church on any given Sunday morning. Now, can you be a Christian and not be in church? Sure you can. You shouldn't be. But it's possible. But I bet that's not 80%. This light of Christ in our lives should be burning so brightly that everyone in our house, what's our house? Dover, Camden, Milford, Frederica, Felton, Smyrna, Harrington, Camden, Wyoming. This is our house. Is our light shining so brightly that everyone in the house sees it? And we go out of here, individual lights, the light of Christ. It should be the church. The church should be known in the community. But us as individuals should be known. Should be known as followers of Jesus Christ. And I love this last verse in this passage. Later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus will say, you know, be careful about how you do things so that you're not, you know, doing them out of a sense of pride. You're not doing them to gain attention for yourself. But that's all about intent. It's not about not doing things. See, the intent is this here. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The life that we live as believers should be characterized by people seeing us and praising God. By seeing us and seeking God. So we have to really think about our actions as Christians. First of all, we should think about that every time we're going anywhere. Every time we're going anywhere, to work, to school, to shop, every time we go anywhere, we should pause and think, how am I reflecting Jesus when I walk through these doors? That's more important than your to-do list. It's more important than your shopping list. It's more important than anything else. That God would be glorified. Why? Because you are taking the light of Christ with you into Walmart. You are taking the light of Christ with you into your office. You are taking the light of Christ with you as you drive on the highway. People should look at you and glorify God, even if they don't know why. Something should be drawing them to the light, to the source of your light, and that source is Jesus Christ. We worry sometimes about not knowing enough to say, not knowing the right things to say. Church, if you'll be obedient to what God's calling you to do, the Holy Spirit will work on people's hearts. I read a series of articles on Muslims who had become Christians who were evangelizing to other Muslims, and this guy said something I thought was incredibly wise. He says that the Quran refers to Jesus as the Word of God. Now, it doesn't do it the same way that we do it. They don't think about it the same way that we think about it. But he says, he takes that and says, there's something more. There's something more to this Jesus. And he prays with them. And then he says, I let the Holy Spirit take over. I don't have to worry about figuring out how to navigate through those waters. I let the Holy Spirit work. I'm obedient and I go to whom I'm called and I say what I'm supposed to say. Then I trust God. We may not be evangelizing to those folks, but there's a lot of people around us that don't know Jesus. Do you trust God enough? Do you trust Him enough to go and say that little thing, that next thing? There shouldn't be any question who we are. Our light should be held so high that everyone in the house, everyone in the house can see the light. God will help them identify it. The Holy Spirit will help them identify what that is. But they should see you. They should see us and see something different. But we have to think as we go, everywhere we go. Are we seeking first the kingdom in that moment? And I'm serious when I say it. I don't do it all the time. Every time I jump out of my car to run into Wawa, I don't think that, but I should. I should. And I'm working on it. And I hope you will too. Because the house is dark. But there's a light bright enough for everyone in the house to see. Everyone in the house to see. Amen.